This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
James chapter number 1. Verses 17 and 18 and following. James chapter number 1, verse 17, 18, and 19. Ready? Here we go. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Boy, isn't that so true? God gave us a gift here this morning. His presence is here. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, listen now, wherefore, my beloved brethren, he's talking to believers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 19 again. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be, say it with me, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I want you to be seated, and this morning we're going to talk about reviving sensitivity. Last week we talked about reviving prayer. Today we're going to talk about reviving sensitivity, listening intently to God's voice through prayer and through worship. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, but most of all, we thank you, Lord, for salvation. And in the time that we have together, may we hear the word of God, hear the voice of God through Scripture, Lord, and surrender our lives to you today. Without a doubt, there are hurting people in this room. There are folks, Lord, who have marriage problems. There are folks that have financial problems. There are folks that are facing some type of disaster within their relationships. Lord, there are others that are hurting in sickness and sorrow, suffering and pain. Lord, in every single pew, from heart to heart, there is somebody here today that has a burden. Lord, I pray that they would bring their burdens to you. You tell us in your word to cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. So today, Lord, I pray that you would use me as like the pen of a ready writer, the psalmist said. And help me, Lord, to preach your word and to encourage your people to listen intently to the word of God. To listen, Lord, to your voice, and we will thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody can say, amen. Let me tell you a story this morning about an amazing individual. His name was Eric Weinmayer. Eric Weinmayer. And Eric's story is both amazing and inspiring. Eric became blind at the age of 13 years old. But even though he was blind, he didn't allow his handicap to hinder him from climbing. He loved to climb even though he was blind. And on May 25th, 2001, Eric did something incredible. He became the first blind man to climb Mount Everest and reach the peak. And he was successful. Word spread about Eric's remarkable achievements, and the world took notice of it. As he climbed Mount Everest, he was honored with a Time magazine cover detailing his conquest of tackling the highest peak. He went on to complete what is known as the Seven Summits, which was the highest point on every single continent. An amazing task. And the reason why it's an amazing, because the majority of climbers never make it to the top. Since the early 1920s, more than 330 climbers have died on Mount Everest. And so the natural question when you read about Eric's amazing story, being blind and making it all the way to the top, the question that everybody asks is, how was he able to do it when everybody else failed? How does a blind guy go all the way up the mountain, knowing since 1920, 330 climbers have died, and the majority of people never ever make it? How did he make his way up the mountain when everybody else failed? He climbed to the top, and he was succeeded in his climb. Well, when you read about a story, the key to Eric's story was this. He learned to listen very well. He listened to the sound of a bell attached to the climber in front of him, helping him to make the right move and go in the right direction. He listened to the voice of his teammates, who every once in a while would shout back, "Death fall, 2 feet to your right." And then he would adjust his feet and go in the right direction. He listened to the sound of his pick hitting the ice to determine if caution was necessary. By listening well, Eric made the climb to the top. And what was good for Eric is good for you and I this morning. By listening well to God, you're going to make your climb to the top. You're going to find out that the strength that God gives you, that spiritual triumph, is not about the strength of your hands. It's about the precision of your listening. It's not about what you can do for God. It's what God will do in you and through you as you begin to precisely and intently listen to the word of God. You need to know that just as Eric had a rope, that God's voice is the rope that secures you as you make your ascent upward towards the cliffs of revival. As God begins to stir your heart, as God begins to take you to that mountain peak where you find refreshing and you find triumph, you need to know that it's God's voice that secures us all the way. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So as you prepare this week to climb the mountain with God and to have a revival, listening well is going to make all the difference in the world. As a matter of fact, I jotted some things down and I thought about, you know, what does listening well to God accomplish in my life? What's it going to accomplish in your life? Well, first of all, it provides clarity in decision making. When you listen to God's word and you listen well, it provides clarity when you're trying to make those critical decisions. It strengthens our faith and puts our trust in God's plan. It offers guidance and direction in navigating life's challenges. It helps us to discern God's will for our lives. It deepens my intimacy with God when I listen well to the Lord. It leads me to spiritual growth and maturity. It enables me to experience peace and assurance. Hey, it guards us against the lies of the devil. When you listen well and you listen to the word of God, listen, honey, he becomes a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Somebody say amen. Listening well to God aligns my desire with God's purpose. It enables a deep understanding of Scripture. It promotes unity and harmony within the body of Christ, and it enables us to bear fruit for the cause of Christ and much, much more. You need to listen well. It's important for you to tune your ears into heaven. You may be listening to the world. You may be listening to this or to that. You need to tune your ears into heaven and trust the Lord. Somebody say amen. So the summit of spiritual victory is reached by every single obedient step that you take towards listening to God. And this is what James talks about within our text this morning. He is talking about listening well. James is going to tell us it's not only important for us to recognize and to listen well to God, but also he's going to tell us it's essential to have our faith anchored in God so God can transform us from the inside out. And the Lord does three things for us. One, he fosters spiritual growth. He will deepen your intimacy with God. And number three, he guides us towards a spiritual revival with him. And this is what James is talking about in verse number 19 when he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." The entire first chapter is pointing to the importance of the Word of God. You'll actually find several times that James alludes to the Word of God. Verse 18, he calls it the Word of Truth. You'll see in verse 21, he says, the engrafted Word. In verse 22, he says, the Word. Over and over and over again, he is pointing the reader to the importance of the Word of God. And men and women, I can't stress this enough, the most important thing that you can do for your soul, the most important thing you can do for your life is to read and study and apply the Word of God. It is vitamins for you. It is nutrients for you. Those virtues of the Word of God is the thing that's going to give pep in your step, and it's going to help you to experience revival. Somebody say amen. And so this morning, I want you to just look with me in the short time that we have. Reviving sensitivity. Listening intently to God's voice begins with a few steps. And here's the first step this morning, and I want you to write this down. Number one, the step of preparation. The step of preparation. He tells us in verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, James gives us a couple of directives here. And these directives are the things that he's trying to encourage us to take part of so that we can intently listen to the Word of God. So real quickly, here's number one. He says, be swift to hear. The first thing you need to do is you've got to concentrate on listening. You've got to concentrate on listening. Being swift to hear denotes readiness and intentional listening. Hearing the Word of God. Now, we live in such a sight-driven world. While there are billions and billions of words being spoken, we just don't listen today. We are so sight-driven, we have tuned our ears out, and we just don't listen. We just don't pay attention. And it's getting worse. Have you guys seen the Google, or not, is it Google or Apple, the glasses that you can put on? And so now you got a computer in front of your face. And they showed a boy on a subway, on one of the news outlets. They showed this boy on a subway, all these people behind him. He's sitting there and he's moving his hands because he's working a computer, but he's not talking to nobody. And what's happening is we've got our phone in our face so much, we don't listen to nobody no more. We are so interested in what the conversation is on social media that we can't even talk to one another and listen to one another anymore. We are so preoccupied with having something in our face that we are not even listening to God anymore. We have so many different things that stimulate our eyes, but we never practice on stimulating our ears and listening to God. And James says, if you want to have a spiritual revival, if you want to encounter God, number one, you've got to be swift to hear. One psychologist said it this way. He said, listen to the conversations of our world between nations as well as between couples. They are, for the most part, here's what he said, dialogues of the deaf. Dialogues of the deaf. He's saying billions and billions of words are being produced every second, every single minute, but only a fraction of them are being heard. So why is our world filled with dialogues of the deaf? Why aren't people listening? Here's why people struggle in not listening and listening well. Number one, they got a closed mind. They believe that they are always right and everybody else is wrong. Do you know anybody like that? They got a closed mind. They have it's a one-way avenue for them. They believe their agenda is right, their way is right. They are so hard-hearted in their heart that there's no room for anybody else to give a suggestion. There's no room for anybody else to give any type of input. They are so closed-minded in their personal relationships and in their spiritual relationship. They are closed-minded to the will of God. They think their agenda is better than God's agenda. They think their way is better than God's way. They think their will is better than God's will. Honey, I got news for you today. You may have a plan and you may have a program, but I'm here to tell you His plan and His program is way better than yours. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, my ways are even higher than your ways. The best thing that you can do today is to open up your mind and listen to the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Closed-minded people, they suffer to listen well. Self-centered people who are overtly focused on proving their point. Then you've got prideful people being afraid of feedback because they are just too proud to change. Now, I've seen that happen so many times in the church. You preach on the will of God, you preach the word of God, the precepts of God's will for people's lives, and they are so filled with pride that they just will not change their prideful, arrogant ways, and they do not listen well to God. They got a closed mind, they're self-centered, they're prideful, and they are defensive. Defensive in every way, always defending themselves, always trying to justify their actions, unwilling to take any feedback even from God Himself. Then you have those who are suffering from entitlement, acting entitled and expecting special treatment. That I don't have to listen to God, I have a Bible degree. I don't have to listen to God, I'm a leader in the church. I don't have to listen to God, I'm a missionary. I don't have to listen to God, I might be a preacher. I don't care if you're a plumber or a preacher, you've got to listen to the Lord. Somebody say amen. There is no entitlement among God's people. Don't think that you have arrived and that you're better than everybody else. We are all just sinners saved by the grace of God. Someone say amen. We need to hear God's voice. People have a closed mind. They're self-centered, they're pride. They are very defensive. They have this entitlement issue. Then you've got people that are just filled with self-pity. They are so stuck in self-pity that they feel sorry for themselves and they can't hear any advice. They can't get any help from anybody else. And they just turn a deaf ear to what's going to help them. You know, the opposite of dialogues of the deaf would be dialogues of being receptive. And I believe now more than ever, we need to be listening to what God is trying to tell us. John MacArthur said it this way, James' appeal is for believers to seize every opportunity to increase their exposure to Scripture, to take advantage of every privileged occasion to read God's Word or to hear it faithfully preached and taught. The sincere, eager desire of such learning is one of the surest marks of a true child of God. You know who loves the Lord? You know who loves walking with the Lord? It's somebody that desires to hear the Lord's voice. I remember reading there in Samuel about Samuel's call into ministry. Samuel was a very young man and he had not yet learned to hear the voice of God and to walk with God as of yet. But God's got him in boot camp. He's in training ground. And one night he went to bed and he's there living in Eli's house and he wakes up in the middle of the night and he says, "Here I am." And he goes in there and wakes Eli up. And Eli said, "Son, I didn't call for your name. Go back and lie down." He goes back and he lies down and he hears a voice again. He wakes up and says, "Here I am." And he goes back into Eli. Eli said, "I didn't call for you. Go lay back down." Another time, Samuel hears a voice and he gets back up and goes to Eli and says, "Hey, here I am." And then Eli realizes God's calling him. God's speaking to him. He said, "Son, I want you to go back in there and I want you to lay down. And if you hear the voice again, say this, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" And today, one of the best things that you and I can do is say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." God came to Samuel and spoke to him, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and he said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant hears." God initiated a plan for Samuel, and he became one of the great prophets and preachers of the Old Testament. Today, God is speaking to you. God's calling you out of your sin. God's trying to encourage you to be something for Him. God's got His hand upon you, and God is calling you today. Don't confuse His voice with the voice of the world. Don't confuse His voice with something else. You need to hear His voice and stand and say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant today is listening. Lord, what is it you would have me to do?" You've got to make sure that your mind is open and you concentrate on listening. Second of all, not only concentrate on listening, where the Bible says be swift to hear, but it also says to be slow to speak in verse number 19. Not only do you got to concentrate on listening, but you've got to control your tongue. You've got to control your tongue. You've got to be slow to speak. Now listen, a person never learns anything when they are speaking. If I'm sitting here talking to you and trying to train you, and you're talking the entire time that I'm talking to you, you're never going to learn anything. And a lot of times when the Word of God is being preached, we have a conversation going on in our mind with ourselves, and we are arguing with the preacher. We are saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sacrifice. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to take time out to be this or to be that. And all of a sudden, this conversation, if you're constantly speaking in your mind, you're not learning anything. Listen to me. Time spent in silence is time well vested. When you get alone with God and stop speaking, quit trying to justify what you've done. Quit trying to argue with God's word. Quit trying to skirt tail around it and say, I don't have to deal with this. This is somebody else's problem. It is not my problem. Listen to me. The best thing that we can do is to tune our ears toward heaven and to close our mouth in silence and stand before the presence of God, as they sang today in the throne room, recognizing His holiness and His might. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter number 6, it tells us that Isaiah is being called of God. And in Isaiah chapter number 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah is a good person. He's got some faults, but for the most part, he was a good king. And there was prosperity under King Uzziah. So everybody felt safe when King Uzziah was there. God wants Isaiah to see beyond the earthly throne, and He wants him to see there's a heavenly throne and a heavenly realm. And the year that King Uzziah died, when the security of the country was gone, when there was a prosperity that was gone, when the year that he died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train, His veil, filled all of the temple. Isaiah draws closer to the Lord, and he's dumbfounded, and he's in silence. And as he sees the holiness of God, there in that silence of witnessing God's power and God's presence and God's might, the Bible says that the angels go over to the altar, and they grab these coals, and they purge the lips of Isaiah. They touch his lips. Perhaps Isaiah was a foul-mouthed individual because he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. And in the silence of that moment, in that encounter with God, God touches his mouth. And it will be his mouth that God uses for his honor and his glory as he draws a nation to himself. I don't know what God needs to touch today in your life, but I'm telling you, if you will set in silence, and you will quit arguing with God, and be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and allow the Word of God to permeate in your heart and your life, there is no telling what God will do in and through a person that is yielded unto Him. If you believe that, say amen. Not only must you control listening, concentrate on listening, you must control your tongue, but also you got to contain your temper. Look at verse number 20, or verse number 19, rather. He wants you to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and what's the last one? Slow to wrath. Now, it's interesting, this word here in the Greek, which is wrath in your Bible, it doesn't refer to an explosive outburst or a temper, but to an inner deep resentment that just kind of smolders on the inside and often becomes very, it's not very clear to other people. You can walk into the room and they see you and you look happy on the outside, but on the inside, you're smoldering on the inside. You've got some type of bitterness on the inside, some type of envy going on the inside, some sort of jealousy going on the inside. There's something on the inside that's just bothering you, and it is making you angry. On the inside, you are so clouded with anger that you cannot hear the voice of God. So James seems to be speaking about anger toward the truth. You know that you're living in sin. You know that you're doing wrong. God's Spirit has spoken to your heart, and you know that you are living out of favor with God and out of God's will. But on the inside, you're angry. On the inside, you're mad. You may take that anger out sometimes out on your relationships. It's not your wife's fault. It's not your husband's fault. It's your fault. You're out of will with God. You may try taking that anger out on your relationships with your friend or your family, and all that frustration that's boiling up on the inside. It's not because of anything that anybody's done to you. You are out of favor with God. You are out of touch with God. You are not walking in the will of the Lord. James says, if you want that engrafted word, if you want the word of truth, you've got to be, number one, you've got to be swift to hear his word. You cannot be spiritually deaf. You've got to open up your ears to the word of God. Then you've got to make sure that you're controlling your tongue. Just stop talking and stand before the Lord in his presence and let God speak to you. And the last thing that you need to do, you need to be slow to wrath. Quit becoming angry at God. God is not your enemy. Somebody say amen. The word of God is not your enemy. Galatians chapter 4 verse 16, Paul said it this way, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You're going to get mad at the word of God because God says you're living in sin? You're going to get mad at the word of God because God says fornication, pornography, drug addiction, drinking is wrong? You're going to get mad at God for those things? If you want the engrafted word of God, you've got to repent of your sin. And honey, listen, you've got to listen to the word of God. You've got to silence your tongue, and you need to quit becoming angry at God, because God is not your enemy. God is your friend. Don't get angry with God when the preacher points out your sin. Don't get angry at God when the Spirit of God exposes your wickedness. Don't get angry at God when the truth uncovers your darkness, when the Bible corrects your behavior, when trials refine your faith, when God's silence becomes a test of your patience, when the ways of God challenge you, when the Word of God convicts you, and the will of God calls you. Don't get angry with God. Somebody say amen. Listen now, when circumstances seem unfair, just trust in God's justice. When prayers appear unanswered, friend, you have faith in God's plan. When blessings seem delayed, you wait with anticipation on the promises of God. When you are feeling overwhelmed, you lean on the everlasting arms of God. When your relationships become strained, seek reconciliation and forgiveness that God grants. When you are facing uncertainty about the future, rest in the promises of God. When you feel alone and abandoned, just cling to that unchanging hand. When you are tempted to take matters in your own hand, surrender to his will. When confronted with the unexpected, seek wisdom and guidance, and don't get mad at God. Somebody say amen. The song says, hold on, hold on. Through every storm, hold on. Even in the darkest night, walk by faith, not by sight. Hold on. Just hold on. God says, I want you to listen and listen well. I want you to stand before his presence, silence, as God speaks to you through his word. And do not get mad at God. Contain your temper. Get a hold of your passions before your passions get a hold of you, and hear the word of God. Second of all, here's your second step. Your second step is, after preparation, your second step is examination. When you have prepared your heart to hear and to be quiet and to not get angry, verse 21 tells us you've got to clean up your life in verse number 21. Verse 21 says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. When's the last time you've used the word superfluity in your language? Anybody? Right? It's an old, old King James word, superfluity. It actually means above measure or overflowing. Filthiness there is a unique word. It actually carries the idea of having earwax. The same word, filthiness, there was used of people who were just diseased or clogged up with all sorts of earwax. James is saying that there are some people that have this overflowing wickedness in their life to such a degree it has clogged their ears from hearing what God wants them to say. You need to clean up your life, and you need to have a self-examination. Look at verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness of superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Listen now, by concentrating your attention, by controlling your tongue, by containing your anger, and cleaning up your life, you are now ready to receive the word of God. We have it backwards, don't we, in our churches? We come in with all of these problems, all this sin, bitterness, and regret. We sit down, and then we listen to the word of God. I wonder what it would be like in our church if we did these things first. Before we came in and heard the preacher, before we came in and even opened up our Bible, before we said one prayer, we sang one song, we concentrated our attention on God. We brought our tongue under control. We determined that we will not become angry at God when God speaks about my sinful life. God exposes my darkness. God exposes my evil way. I will not become bitter at God because I want to be better. And I clean up my life even before I enter in the door. Now, I am ready to receive the wonderful word of God. Look what the Bible says. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. Here it is. Overflowing earwax is what he is saying there. Overflowing naughtiness that's clogging up your spiritual ears. And now receive with meekness. Meekness means gentleness. Receive there means to welcome. That you welcome the word of God. Just like you would an old friend. You welcome the word of God. You're excited to see that individual. You welcome the word of God into your heart, into your home, to control all of your habits. You receive the word of God. You welcome the word of God, and you do this with meekness, meaning, Lord, I give you a teachable spirit. Lord, show me what I must do. Show me what I must become in meekness and in humility. And the word engrafted there comes from a word that means to plant a seed. So James is saying that the human heart is like a garden. And if it's neglected, weeds are going to overrun it and it will surely die. So he urges us to pull the weeds of sin and plant the seeds of God's word deep into our heart, that it may flourish and prosper. If you're still with me, say amen. Here's the last step, and you guys can come to the piano. Here's the very last step. Step of preparation, right? Then I make this big leap, this big, huge step where I call upon God and I ask God to control my tongue and to control my temper and help me to be silent before Him. And then I have the step of examination where I make sure that I've cleaned my life up, that I'm ready to receive, I've got a gentle spirit, and that I want the engrafted word, the seed of the word of God, planted deep into my heart. He says in verse 23 and verse number 24, don't be a forgetful hearer, but in verse 25, be a faithful doer of the word of God. Don't be a forgetful hearer of what God is going to do this week in preparation of our revival services. Don't be forgetful to hear what God is saying to you, to listen to the voice of God. Be a faithful doer. And then here's the last step. Are you ready for it? The step of preparation, the step of examination, and then the last step is verse 26 and verse 27, the step of application. Now, you can listen all day long, and if you don't take what you hear and put it into the actions of life, it's really doing you no good. God does not want you just to be a hearer of the word. God wants you to be a doer of the word. And the problem is we got a lot of hearers. They hear Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but come Sunday night, when comes Sunday night or Monday or through the week, you're doing nothing about what you heard. It may benefit you to listen to the Word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. But I'm telling you, if you don't make steps of putting the Word of God in action, application to your life, then you are missing out on one of the biggest blessings of life. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? You guys asleep? Let me read it again. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them. Listen to this. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on the rock. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell you this morning? God is telling us in his word, we need to be swift to hear, be ready to listen. We need to be slow to speak. Quit trying to justify your sin. Quit trying to argue with God. And just sit in silence before the Lord. Don't say nothing. Just meditate upon God. Let God speak to you. Let God take his word and bring it back to your memory. You'll hear his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they what? They know me. In the midnight hour, when things are going bad, when you're sitting silent before the Lord, God speaks to you. He doesn't speak audibly like I'm speaking to you, but God speaks through his word. And so the more that you hear the word of God and read the word of God, the more you're going to be apt to be tuned into the voice of God when God speaks. And when God speaks, we are like Samuel. Lord, here am I. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Samuel said, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. Take the word of God and apply it to your heart and your life. James says it this way in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. You're a hypocrite. If you don't bridle your tongue, if you're not doing what God's called you to do, you're just being a hypocrite. You're not allowing your life and your lip to line up together. You may say one thing, but your actions show altogether something else. He goes on to say this in verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Showing compassion is what he's talking about. If you're truly walking with God, you're showing compassion to others. If you are truly reading the Word of God and the Word of God is penetrating your heart, then your life will be one that's characterized by compassion. Notice what it says. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Listen, James concludes the section by showing that sensitivity to God's word leads to sanctification in the world. Sensitivity to God's word leads to sanctification in the world. The more you listen to him and you are quiet before the Lord, and you are engaged in spiritual prayer, and you hear the word of God, and you take all that superfluity of naughtiness, and you confess it unto God, and clean out your spiritual ears to tune it into the voice of God, it is then that God speaks, and it is then that you've got the wonderful opportunity to take the directives of God and apply it to your heart and your life, and move out in faith on mission with the Lord. How about it today, friend? Do you need to revive your sensitivity? Do you need to tune your ears into heaven today? What is it that God is calling you to do? What sort of person is God calling you to be? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Don't get angry with God when he pinpoints the hindrances, the wickedness, the sin the unrepentance in your life, He wants you to draw near to Him today.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.